at the end here, which is due this Sunday morning, you'll be here. And I'm so thankful that the sun is shining this morning considering the weather we've had the last few days. I guess I could turn it off, but
Now, let's start over. Happy Easter. Glad you're here this morning. I had Brian to read out of Matthew chapter 1, and that's where I'm taking my sermon this morning. And a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about what I'm going to preach on Easter. And I started looking. I have about 30, 35 Bibles, something like that, different translations, paraphrases, and I use them all the time. But I'm curious, how many of you, your very first Bible was King James? Yeah, majority of us. How many of you still have trouble because you memorized everything in King James and you have trouble with the new translations sometimes? I have that trouble too. Nothing wrong with the new translations, but anyway, I was studying and I pulled out not only my King James, but my Scofield King James, which is, I think it's one of the first Bibles I cut my teeth on and one of the first Bibles I actually preached out of. And I thought, I'm going to use some verses out of it this Sunday. I use a different translation most of the time now, a little more modern, a little more easier to understand in some ways, because King James is difficult. But just listen to this. I'm going to read all the verses that Brian read. I'm just going to look at verses 5 and 6 in chapter 28 of Matthew. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." And I particularly want to put emphasis in the fact, as he said. This morning, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I think we need to remember all the folks, in particular the Christians in Sri Lanka, if you're not aware. There was an attack on primarily Christians in that nation this morning, or this Easter morning, and a number of churches were bombed, and as well as some hotels. But we need to, not only as we pray for them, but be thankful to the Lord that we can meet openly and worship openly this Easter morning. That's not true of the majority of the Christians in the world, who are under great persecution, who are meeting in Easter and meeting oftentimes in fear of their own death and persecution and things like bombs. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we are so blessed as Americans. Help us never take for granted the freedoms that we have, and may we never, Father, lose them. May we be reminded that we are worshiping you this morning, and we can worship you freely. Unlike those disciples who were waiting at the crucifixion of Jesus in fear, unlike many Christians across the world today who came to worship this morning in fear, and unlike those who are in Sri Lanka this morning who are grieving over the loss of loved ones as they came to worship. Father, we pray for them. We pray for others across the world today, brothers and sisters in the Lord, who are suffering, who are struggling, who are being persecuted because of their faith. And may we never shrink away from our faith. May we stay strong. And allow this Easter to be a time that reminds us and renews in us the reality of our condition and our need for Christ. It is in his name that we pray, and amen. Now, let me, I'm not defending the resurrection this morning. I know a lot, you'll hear from a lot of pulpits this morning, and maybe rightly so, folks going back and defending that the resurrection really happened. I think to not say the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not happen, or to say the resurrection of Jesus Christ didn't happen, is pretty foolish. There's just too much evidence that confirms the rise of Jesus Christ from the dead. Gallup a few years ago did a poll and said 84% of the people who didn't attend church believe that Jesus rose from the dead. All through the historical facts, not only in Scripture, but in four or five of the most reliable historical sources verify that Jesus rose from the dead. We told in Scripture that there are references of Jesus meeting with people, eating with people, speaking to 500 people at one time. So we don't have to defend the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It happened. The question is this morning is, what does it mean? What is Easter anyway? What exactly does it mean? And I want you to look at three things to understand this morning what it means, and then we're going to apply those three things and what it actually means for us. First of all, it proclaims that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. Jesus is who he said he was going to be. And we'll look over in John chapter 11. You'll see that on the screen. John chapter 11 and verse 25, he tells us that he not only here does it say that's exactly who he said he was, but Jesus made it very clear that it's an outrageous claim that he is God. He's perfect. And that he's the only way to heaven. He said, Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth on me, though he is dead, shall live. Now, a lot of people tried to claim that Jesus was a good teacher. He was a great rabbi. But Jesus didn't allow that to take place. Jesus said, I am God. He made it very clear who he was. And on that day of the resurrection, he made it very clear what it was going to take place, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. Not only that, when he was in the temple and he was turning over the tables, he told them very clearly that he was God. And then on in the next verse I got, John 14 and 6, we see Jesus said unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That means that Jesus said that all other religions, anybody that says there's any other way to heaven, it's not true. The only truth is that Jesus Christ is the only means to be saved. No one can come to God except through the Son of Jesus Christ. Church, we need to proclaim that. We need to understand that Christianity is a very exclusive religion. The only way you can be included is by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and all else is excluded from that, from being a Christian. God came to earth in the form of a man that we can know that God loves us, and the only way we can come back to the Father is through the person of Jesus Christ. Not only did Jesus claim who he was, Jesus showed he had the power to claim to be who he was. A second point here. Jesus showed he had the power he claimed to have. In Matthew 28 it says, and Jesus came to them and spake to them, saying, all authority have been given unto me in heaven. Wait a minute, a second. Excuse me, I'm losing this thing. In heaven and in earth. You know, and then in John 10:18, he says that, the next slide there, 10:18, do I have it? There you go. No one can take away from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command receive I from my Father. He said, no force could keep me in the tomb. The Romans killed him. They put him in the tomb. They put the stone before it. They put guards on it. And he had all the power in all the world. And nothing could confine him and keep him. And the third point I want you to see about Easter. Jesus does what he promised to do. In Mark 10:34 he says, and they shall mock me, and they shall spit upon me, and they shall scourge me, and they shall kill me. And after 3 days I shall rise again, as the angel said to the women, just as he said. The cross was no surprise to Jesus. When you think about, almost there's a humorous thing in Easter. Think about the guys who convicted Jesus, put him on the cross, killed him, put him in the tomb, put a seal on the tomb, and then the next thing you know, he's walking among the city of Jerusalem, and he's walking around people. They had to be really concerned about this Jesus. Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6 tell us this. We have that slide. Matthew 28, 5 and 6. If we don't, I don't have that slide. I'm sorry. Let me read. I read. They answered and said unto them, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not there, for he is risen as he said. Now, he did what he promised. He rose from the dead and who he was. So we see Jesus kept his promise. Jesus had the power to raise from the dead. Jesus had all the power that came from heaven. And he was exactly who he claimed to be. He was God. That in itself tells us that the Easter occurred. Easter is without a question. But really, we've taught that since we were children. We've been taught to the children that Jesus is God, and that Jesus claimed to be who he was, and that Jesus had all the power of God available to him. We've known that. What does that mean for us? Exactly why is that so important that we celebrate Easter? Well, and that's one of the reasons I put the notes in today. These are 3 points that I want you to get today. First of all, my first point, why Easter matters, why Easter is important. My past can be forgiven. Have you ever been halfway through a project? You know, maybe it's painting, or maybe you're doing something else, and you wish, man, I wish I could start this over. Maybe you felt that way about life. Have you ever come to a point in life and you say, well, I wish I could go back to the good old days and I could just start it all over again? You know, and you live with regrets and things that you've done and things that you've said and some people that you've hurt and some relationships that you have allowed to go astray. And maybe in some ways you've put yourself in the penalty box of life. And maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling with the fact that you know, I just wish I could do life over again. My past has got stuff in it, and that past just continues to weigh me down. I carry it everywhere I go. Colossians 2 says, having blotted out the bond written in the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he have taken it out that way, and nailed it to the cross. Because of who Jesus is, and because of that Easter morning, we can claim God's pardon program for everything we've ever done in the past. In fact, Jesus paid for everything I have done, and it paid for my guilt, and he paid for all my hang-ups, and he put all my hang-ups on the cross. And Jesus was nailed to the cross that I could quit nailing myself to the cross. He wants to forgive your past. He wants you your past to be forgotten, to be canceled, to be all those things to be written, paid for in full. You know, once I have a bill, that bill comes to my house, and once I pay that bill, I sort of forget it and put it aside. But I can also forget my past, because it's been paid in full. In fact, look on the screen at Romans 8, 1 and 2. Romans 8, 1 and 2, I call the great exesketch verse. You remember that thing you used to have as a kid? They still have them. They brought them back now. And you write on them and you take it and you shake it upside down and everything's really loose. Look what it says. This is ours for those who have trusted in the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ made me free from the law of sin and death. if you messed up the picture of your life because of what Jesus did on the cross, you can just shake it and start over because you're no longer condemned for those things that are in your past. In fact, Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, I came to save the world. He wants to change you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you a new beginning. And that's what Easter is all about, a new beginning. One of the reasons we celebrate Easter in the spring is when we look out and we look at all the new beginnings of all the new fresh stuff that's being started and born and raised up. I'm getting ready to get my garden started. My dad said, always don't plant anything to the 10th day of May, and I keep wanting to get stuff in the ground. Because I just love seeing stuff grow and coming new and fresh. But that's what we have in us personally. Through the first Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead, he's saying to us, you no longer are condemned by the past. The past is forgotten, it's put away. All things are new in Christ Jesus. Not only is the past taken care of, but my present, set number two, my present problems can be managed. Now, here's one of the things I learned as I got older. And I get older, I learned it more and more. And as I mature, as I get old, guys, I learned that, guess what? I can't manage life. I can't control things around me. In fact, I found that I can't figure life out. And when you mature more and more, and you're going to realize as you do that there's just so many things out here in this world and so much going on in our lives that we can't handle. We can't manage. The good news is, because of Easter, God can. Maturity is when you realize that you can't manage what's going on in your life, but you begin to realize that God can manage everything in your life. So I want to hook up with him, because when I hook up with him, he's in control and I can receive help. You see, my life is out of control. And very often what I find is by spending time with people is that everybody else's life's out of control too. And very often I have people say, I just feel powerless. I can't break the bad habit. I can't fix the relationship. I can't manage my time schedule. I can't manage my finances. You know what that means is you need a power and I need a power that's greater than me, which he wrought in Christ when we raised him from the dead and made him to sit at the right hand in the heavenly places. You know what the resurrection means? The resurrection means I have Jesus Christ in heaven, set him at the right hand of the Father, and because he's there, he is interceding for me, and because I can't handle the problems of this world, I have him to rely on to help me get through the problems. Notice I didn't say eliminate the problems. Life is full of problems. But I can get through the problems because my Savior sits on the right hand of the Father. And no matter what I may handle in this world, I'm able to manage the problems because of what Jesus did and who Jesus is, and because he is sitting with the Father. Because even though it's out of my control, it's not out of God's control. I love Philippians, and you probably know this in my heart too. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means I can manage all my problems. I can manage all the issues of life. I can deal with them. I can live through them. It might be a tough week. It might be a tough month. It might be a tough year. But don't give up. No problem is too big for God. No situation is hopeless when we turn it over to God. Because my past can be forgiven and my present can be managed because of the first Easter, so also is my future can be secure. Number three, my future can be secure. God took care of my past by forgiving me of my sins. Because of the power of Christ at the right hand of the Father, I can manage my present. And I have the assurance that my future can be secure. Listen, one of the universal problems that we all face is death. Everyone's going to die. I'm going to die someday, and you're going to die someday, unless the Lord returns. And sometimes we get so busy, we take time that we stop to give thought to just, are we really prepared for what is inevitably coming? And you know, you want to have a good time. Bring a bunch of friends over to your house, and you give them some cookies and give them some coffee, and say, you know, I just want to bring you over today, and I just want to have a conversation. Let's talk about death. Yeah, that's what you're going to get. Isn't it all? Why is it we spend so little time on this side of eternity? We don't want to talk about what we know is inevitable. In fact, this side of eternity is a preschool to learning what about eternity. I'm a baby boomer. 70 million of us are turning old. We're talking about death a lot more. We ask the questions like, what's it really going to be like when I die? What does the Bible say? One pastor I talked to yesterday is doing a whole series in the next few weeks on what's it like on the other side. Let me tell you what it's like. One of these days, everyone in this room is going to stand before God. And you need to know the right answer. Now, everybody wants to go to heaven. You know what the Bible says about heaven? Heaven's a perfect place. Heaven is a perfect place where there is no sin. There's nothing but joy. There is no mistakes. There's no evil. There's no bad. There's no errors. There's no sin. It's a perfect place. And the reality is the only way you can get to heaven because it's a perfect place is that you got to be a perfect person. How many perfect people do we have this morning? Yeah, that's what I thought. None of us are perfect. In fact, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, which means none of us are going to go to heaven. God had two plans. He's got plan A. You know what plan A was? Plan A is the perfect plan. It is that plan where you live a perfect life, you have no sin, you didn't ever do anything wrong, you never have a bad thought, you never have any of those things, and if you live that way, you will go to heaven. Guess what? There's only been one person who lived that way, and they crucified him on the cross. But God, in his infinite wisdom, had another plan. And if you trust in Jesus Christ, and establish a relationship with him. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and no one can come to the Father except through me. God, I can't get here on my own effort. I can only get here through you. I want to ask them to bring up on the screen John 17:3. I think we skipped one there. Go on, there it is. And this is the life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him who thou dost send, even Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus has already paid the price for you to go to heaven. I was looking at some trips the other day, and travel is expensive. You have to figure it out. We decided, well, when we start saving now, maybe a year we'll be able to, we're wanting to go to Ireland, and maybe we can go to Ireland. We start saving now, and so we'll start saving. I said, well, my wife, she said, wouldn't it be nice that if someone would just pay for the trip? And I said, that'd be nice. The trip to heaven is even more expensive. It costs the blood of God's only Son, so that my trip to heaven can be paid for. A lot of people think there's a lot of different ways to get into heaven. I made a little list of some of them I thought about. There's that salvation by sincerity. If you just are sincere, you're going to be all right. You know, it's sort of like if I drink this out of this bottle and I drink this water, and I'm just sincere that it's water, but really it's poison. I'm going to die. No, sincerity won't get you to heaven. Well, some people say, well, if I just work hard enough, if I just do service, if I go out and I do all kinds of good works, and I do this, and I help the poor, and I help the homeless, and I'll go to heaven. The Bible said that we're saved by grace, so that no one can boast. Well, some people, they believe they can go to heaven by subtraction. They just give up things. I'll give up, you know, I'll give up luxuries. I'll give up all these things. I won't drink. I won't smoke. I won't chew. I won't run around with girls who do. You know, that kind of thing. But then there's the people who say, well, I'll get to heaven by rituals. Now, this gets a little closer to home. I'll get baptized. I'll join the church. I'll sing in the choir. I'll come to worship services. I'll act like a Christian. Let me tell you something. Sitting in the church will no more make you a chicken than, I mean, a Christian than make you a chicken if you're sitting in a chicken house. Or they say, you know, I'll join the church. You know, it's just sort of like, if you join the Lions Club, do you become a lion? Or, you know, well, I was born in the church. So if you're born in a car, you're a spare tire? Doesn't make sense. And then there's the ones who says, well, I believe salvation is by heritage. My mama was a Christian. My grandmother was a Christian. But the Bible says that everyone individually, it's between you and Jesus. You got to make a decision yourself. And then my favorite one on the list is salvation by comparison. Well, I'm a better person than my neighbor. Or I'm a better person than that guy sits across the church from me. Or I'm a better person, you know, than anyone else. God doesn't judge on the curve. He only compares you to one person, and that was Jesus Christ. How do you compare up with him? You see, Jesus, God has plan B. Christ said, I am the way. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy beget us again into living hope. That hope is important. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hope means you don't have to fear anything again. You don't have to fear death anymore. You're prepared for it. And you can't really live until you're in a place in life where you don't fear death. That's why Easter is so important. Because every sin that you've ever committed has been forgiven. Because you have now received new power to be able to live your life in the present. And you know that your Easter is secured. Your Sunday is secured. Your eternity is secured. Because Easter has made a difference. Christ rose from the dead. He made all the difference in the world. You got to do something. But you know what? You can believe that. You can come in here this morning and you can say, Brother Dan, I believe in Easter. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead. I said 84% of the people who don't go to church believe Jesus rose from the dead. But that won't get you to heaven either. You got to do something about it. You got to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to confess to him that you're a sinner and you need him. Now, I know many people here this morning, this is Easter Sunday. And you're here because it's tradition to be in church on Sunday morning. Or maybe somebody brought you. But let me tell you something. I think you're here this morning because this is exactly where God wanted you to be. And you know what God wants to say to you this morning about Easter Sunday? He wants to say to you that you really matter to me. He says, I understand everything there is to know about your life. I know the hang-ups that's going on in your life right now. I know the problems that you're facing. and but you matter to me. I want to have a relationship with you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you and raise from the dead, that you don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear the problems of today, because those of all are under my control and I'm in charge. And it's not about a religion. I don't know who you are. You may be here this morning. You're a Catholic, you're Buddhist, you're Protestant, you're Mormon, you may be even a Baptist. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship. Jesus Christ came because God desires a relationship with you. God has always wanted a relationship with you. When Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, it was all about relationship. God wanted to walk with Adam in the cool of the evening. And God wants to bring back you to that relationship. Isaiah 47 says, you know, for those who have drifted away, God says, with deep love, I want to welcome you back. So let me close with this. Some of you are here this morning and you're not sure what's going to happen when you die. You don't have that security of a heavenly home. And you're honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself this morning. If you were to die today, you don't know what that means. Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead so that you will know without a question that if you would die today, you will be with the Father. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Some of you are here this morning, and let's be frank, you have drifted away from God. And the Lord would say to you, listen, let's quit being a Mickey Mouse about your religion, about who you are. It's time for you to get serious with me. With deep love, I will draw you back, he's saying. He wants you to find a church. I would encourage you to think about this place. It's a great church, great people. My short period of time here, I've already fell in love with some of the folks. Now, I will tell you, they're not perfect. But you know what the purpose of this church is? It's twofold, really. To teach people how to live, even through problems, and to prepare people for when they die physically. Those are the two things that you need. And they'd love for you to come here. And there's another group of you here this morning. And some of you are barely hanging on. You're discouraged. You're depressed, you're despondent. The pressure and the stress of this last week, this last month, has overwhelmed you. And I think God brought you here this morning to say to you, you need to give it over to me. You need to give it over to God. Let go and give it to me. Would you say this morning, Jesus, I just want to give up my problems. I want to hand them over to you and know that you can manage them because I can't. And I want to live your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Fill me a new and afresh with your spirit so I can deal with the issues that are around me. You know what Easter's about, folks? Easter is about the fact that every sin you ever committed was forgiven. If you trust in Christ Jesus. Easter is about, even though we face some of the most difficult problems of life, we can face them because we're never alone and we know the one who can manage them. And Easter is about the assurance and the guarantee and the hope. And that word hope in Scripture means a lot more than just, I hope it happened. It means, yes, it's taken place. I can look for it with delight and joy. That heaven is assured for God's children. That's what Easter is about. We don't have to defend Easter and the resurrected Lord. We need to understand really what it means. So let me encourage you this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you ask Him this morning to come into your life and to forgive your sins. Maybe you can say something as simple as this. Lord Jesus, I know you're God's Son, and I know you rose from the dead. And Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. I just ask you this morning, Lord, to forgive me of my sins and to make me whole. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been out of church for a while. Maybe you got your feelings hurt. Churches sometimes can be a cruel place, it seems. But instead of running from church, you're running from God. Maybe this morning you just need to say something. So, dear Lord, forgive me for having that kind of heart. Lord, will you forgive my heart this morning and draw me back to you and allow me to serve you anew and afresh? Would you allow me, Lord, to have you in my life again? Would you restore to me that joy that I once had? And then maybe there's that one here this morning. You're really bummed out. It's not good. You've had bad news this week. You've had some bad relationships. Right now it's on your mind. You're thinking about it. Actually, it's consuming you. Would you say, Lord, I can't handle this on my own. I just give it to you. You know everything about the situation. You know why that person acted the way they acted. You know why I'm dealing with what I'm dealing with. You know why I said some things that were wrong. But Lord, I need you to forgive me this morning and help me in dealing with this. Shall we pray? And as we pray, and the invitation this morning is simply this. Maybe God is calling you this morning just to come up here and pray. Maybe you just need to bring something to God, lay it on the altar, and say, here it is. It's yours. Or maybe you need to come to me or Brian and say, will you pray with me? I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Father God, the one who sent his Son to die on the cross, that I could have eternal life, and the sins in my life could be forgiven. Dear God, the one who promised he would never leave me or never forsake me. Dear God, the one who is preparing a place for me in heaven. This morning I come to you. I come to you as a sinner. I come to you as one that is hurting. I come to you as one that has fallen away. I come when one that is covered with burdens. And I give them all to you. Because you are gracious and you're loving, and that you sent your Son not only to die for me, but to give me victory over all these things through the resurrection. May you, Lord God, be in charge of this time of invitation, and may we respond to your calling, the calling of the Holy Spirit on our lives. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.